everyone, this is Helen from Asian Beaches Down Under. I have the honor to have this lady, very special lady that I met online. I will let her tell us about her adventure very soon, but I would like to introduce to everyone Zoe. Zoe, can you start by telling us your background, where you're from? I'm going to have a lot of questions.
No worries.
Where did you
Hello. Grow up? Hello, everyone. I'm Zoe. I'm from Taiwan, Tainan. So I was born in Tainan and basically stayed in Tainan my entire whole life. Until uni, so I went to Taipei for my university. Yeah, and I studied in law degree and administration. So I have 2 bachelor degree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I graduated from the uni and I went back to Taiwan straight away to save up some money because the rental in Taipei is just ridiculous. So, and then I started working as like a legal assistant in a technology in Taiwan. And then one day I just feel like a bit bored. It's not the job for me. So, at that time, working holiday in Australia, it was very popular. So one of my best friend in uni asked me, do I want to go with him? But I couldn't because I only just stopped working. But since last stopped, keep thinking about like to go to Australia, just working to do the working holiday thing. But my parents wouldn't let me to do it because they think it's a waste of time, waste of money. And it just, so I said, okay, how about I went to Australia to study a master's degree? They should be happy about it. Yeah, yeah, but I could not afford it. I was not born in a wealthy family. So I actually borrowed the money from the Taiwanese government to complete my degree in Australia.
Mm-hmm. What did you study in Australia?
Okay, so I came here to study master's degree in criminology.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, it's a good lead that following my next question. So what is your current occupation and why did you pick this career path?
Yeah, so I'm currently have 2 jobs. One is my full-time job. I'm a Queensland police officer. Mm-hmm. And then my part-time job is I'm in the army. Australia. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So why police officer? Because we don't see a lot of Asian women that have picked that career path. Did you was that always in your mind that you want to become a police?
I actually never thought I would be a police officer when I was in Taiwan because I have law degrees. Of course, all the parents in Taiwan want your daughter or your son to be a prosecutor or judge or lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I always think, yeah, maybe a prosecutor or something. But things got changed. I ended up in Australia and then was stay-home mom for like 7 years. So I got really, really bored. It's not my personality. I did not want to be a stay-at-home mom at all. So I really want to do something. And I am always into crime stuff, like really into crime. So I read about crime, listen podcasts about crime, watching documentary about crime. Everything's about crime. Mm-hmm. So I told my husband one day, I said, hey, do you think I can be a police officer? He said, yeah, sure. It's pretty suits my personality because my personality is more like black and white. There's no gray area. Yeah, so then I did. So yeah, police officer is something about crime. So I said, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Okay, interesting. Could you take us through of how to become a police officer? I guess a lot of our listeners who has Asian backgrounds, police officer working in a police force might not be their first choice, but you know, we like to have our listeners to think about diversifying their career. And is it a very difficult pathway to become a police officer? What sort of like trainings or studies that you have to prepare for?
Yeah, so the things has been changed over time. So when I first joined, it was harder than now. Mm. Now it's easier because they're actually lacking of a staff member because it's a tough job. It's not a job for everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even you think you want to be a police officer, but when you actually start doing this job, you will, some people actually found out this is not a job for them. Mm-hmm. So how you apply, how you become one, so you just jump on the Queensland or any state's police recruit website. It's pretty detailed how you're going to apply. At the time I was applying, you need to pass them. Like, you know, in Taiwan, the IQ test or the math and logical test online first, which is like a 50 question within 12 minutes. So it's impossible for you to finish anyway, but it's a kind of like a challenge, a test to you how you can handle under stress. Mm-hmm. So every test has the logical behind it.
Mm.
Yeah. And after that, if you pass, they will send you emails and you need to start preparing your physical, like your fitness. Mm-hmm. So I think fitness, it's one of the challenges for a lot of people, especially female. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's not that hard. It's in Australia, there's a thing called beep test. So it's like a 20 meter distance. And they will play a recording. When you hear a beat, you start from one end to the other end, and then beat and you run back. Just run keep back, doing yeah. that, yeah, the shuttle run. But the time will be shorter and shorter and shorter. Mm-hmm. So it depends on your age and your gender. So there's a different standard.
Yes, yeah. I see.
Yeah, so that one is probably the most difficult one.
Okay.
Yeah, and then push it up 10 times, which is not that hard. Obstacle course, it's not that hard, but you do need to train for it. And then, and swimming, you need to be able to swim in like 100 meters with your clothes on. There's no time limit, and you can do whatever swimming you like, a different style you want to. Yeah, but need to be have a clothes on. And then after that, if you pass that, they will send an email to you, inform you, yeah, you pass all those things, and now you're going to the headquarters to do the written test and reading test. So, as a foreigner, English is not your first language. Mm-hmm. I think actually the reading, listening, writing test is probably the most difficult for us.
Oh, for you, okay.
Yeah, because as a police officer, one of your ability is you need to be able to communicate with people, and you need to understand what they're trying to tell you. And at the same time, you need to listening and writing at the same time. So I think listening, fine. Reading is fine, or writing is fine separately. But when you need to do two of them at the same time, it's a challenge. Yeah, so the reading, so the actual test, it's difficult for non-English speaker.
I see. Yeah. What was your family's reaction to your choice of work? Did they expect that you, I mean, they didn't expect you to come to Australia and then you become a police officer. What was their reaction?
So yeah, they were a bit surprised, and they didn't know would it be a safe job or what. Of course it's not safe. It's a pretty dangerous job because I'm the first response, so everyone call us. We need to be there. The first person, the first people, like our crew will be there, the first thing. But they said as long as you're happy, they're more happy I have a job than just stay home mom. So my mom keeps saying that you can't just be a stay-at-home mom, which is, there's nothing wrong to be a stay-at-home mom, but she's a very traditional woman and she did think you can't rely on men to have a money, so you need to have your own career. And so she's more just was more happy. She was happier like, oh, you have a job finally. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really care what job I got. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. The next question I was going to ask you is, could you just briefly describe like a normal shift at your work, when you turn up, what sort of things that you go through?
Yeah, so a lot of people learn about police by watching dramas.
Yes.
Yeah, that's completely wrong. Like, we don't get to arrest people all the time. Yeah, it's we don't have that such big power like a TV show, which is funny. like in my station, we're doing 9-hour shift. So during that 9-hour shift, we have iPads. So when people call, it will show on our iPad which job we need to go to or what job is right there with the waiting list. So we can't choose a job. We need to start from the first priority, the top priority, and then go through. Yeah. So then the job come out, we go to deal with it. So half of our shift actually was sitting in the office typing paperwork. Oh, so that's actually shock everyone, because a lot of people join the police, want to chasing car, want to chasing the criminal, want to be exciting, and it turned out half of your shift is typing paperwork. Yeah. And except the job people call on the day, we have a lot of task list, and those lists could including some minor crime or something not urgent, but you need to get the CCTV footage, you need to go interview the suspect, like those minor crime like fraud or stealing or petrol drive off, that kind of stuff. But it's really time consuming because you need to, there's a heaps job on the iPad you have to go to, and you also need to use the spare time to complete your task. And our task is huge, like at least 20 cases more.
Wow.
Yeah, or if the criminal you charge did not want to play guilty, then that it requires heaps more paperwork, and you need to use your spare time to complete all those court documents, which is very time consuming. So our job is not always exciting.
Yeah, so it involves a lot of administrative work.
Yes. Yeah, because I think the system here and the Taiwan are completely different. So, you know, the prosecutor in Taiwan actually is the lead for a lot of investigation. Mm-hmm. Here, it's police.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, if we decide to charge someone, we have to type out the fact. What did they do? Is this fit the element of legislation or something? And then handed that to prosecutor. So prosecutor's job is just read what police say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all on us. We are the one complete almost every court.
The work. Ah, I see. That's definitely very tiring. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then in saying that, a non-English speaker, not a native tongue, typing is another very difficult thing because it's court document.
Mm-hmm.
Your language will be completely different than normal conversation language as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So you kind of need to learn English all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way of how to format a police statement for the court procedure, etc.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
I want to move on. As being an Asian female working in the police force, what's the working environment like for you? What I'm going to ask is that in your team, are there many police officers who are from diverse backgrounds, or are they still very predominantly white?
Yeah. So it depends which area, which station you work. My station, I'm in Gold Coast. And my station, I'm the only Asian there. Yeah, and there's some officer there from like England, so still Western people. Yeah, so that's not really diversity in my station, so I'm the only Asian there. Yeah, but there's some other station has a lot. So in Queensland Police, we have a program. When I first joined, there was a program called CODE, which is culturally and language diversity program. Mm-hmm. So they recruit people from overseas background, or the person's parent were not born in Australia speaking other language than English.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is great. So there was a lot of, when I joined that course, there were a lot of people from like Europe, like Hungary, they are Hungarian, German, or Lao,
mm-hmm.
Korean,
mm-hmm.
Not many Taiwanese though. Yeah, so it's great. But in my station, I'm just only Asian.
21. Okay. Well, my next question is going to be a little bit sharp and a bit tricky. If you don't want to answer, that's okay. But being the only Asian in your team, have you ever experienced like microaggressions or casual racism? Maybe not around your colleagues, but when you're dealing with, you know, at your work, when you're dealing with criminals, have you, you know, came up with someone who say who doesn't want to deal with an Asian police officer or something like that, or particularly a mate, you know, female police officer?
Yeah.
Sometimes people do have a biases. Yeah.
So, when I was in the police academy, one of my facilitator already warned me. He was saying, "You are female and Asian, and I'm not particularly big, or so. I'm actually one of the shortest in the whole. I'm only 160 centimeter, and like, so I'm compared to Western people, sure, I'm teeny tiny." So he said, "Prepare to be racist, to be treated like," and I swear in his voice, he said, "Prepare to be treated like a piece of shit." Because you're female and Asian. So it's not from the work, it's not from the colleague, it's from the community we deal with. Yeah. So it's true. So people look at me and they think, Asian, female, small, have accent when you speak English. So some of them trying to pick on you, you say, "I can't understand you, I can't understand you." Yeah, and then some of them just look at me and call me all sorts of names, like an Asian bitch, or especially recently, the COVID things, they were like a target to me. Yeah, you people bring the COVID to this country or something like that. But as a police officer, you can't really let those words to affect you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to deal with them like a very positive way. So either ignore them, just do what you're trying to do. Yeah, or you can confront with them, say, "Are you trying to be racist?" I did that all the time. So last week, I just went to a job. It involved Japanese victim and Australian, the landlord, there's some issue, there's conflict between them. Yeah, so the Australian landlord actually questioned me. "So I understand you as an Asian be here to support the Asian victim."
Oh, no.
So in that kind of case, sometimes you need to stood up for yourself. You need to stand up for yourself. So that's what I said to her. "I'm here as a police officer, not because I'm Asian. I'm here to do the translate because I can speak Japanese." As well as I said, "I'm here to translate and try to solve the problem, conflict here." So not as Asian, as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to kind of be, you need to tough up sometimes. Mm-hmm. Let them know you can't mock me around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's common because, you know, people like to pick up, they think the weakest one.
Yes.
So I'm small and Asian, can't speak English properly according to them. So like, of course, they're going to pick on you instead of my partner, like a big guy, Australian, they're going to pick on you. Yeah.
I see. That sounds really tough. I hope that your workplace have as much support as possible for you, both mentally and physically, because it just sounds a really tough situation you have to go through. I want to move on to about your military work. What prompted you to sign up to military work? I know that there's limited things that you can discuss, but why did you decide to commit into the military positions?
Yeah, so my husband is a full-time army.
Okay.
Yeah, so I watched him doing all those army stuff for a long time. We have been married 13 years. So yeah, that's how long I have been watching him doing the army stuff. I personally not really particular into army stuff, but how do you say? So joining as a reserve, it's a a good experience for your wife. So you don't have to dedicate yourself, your whole life to the army, but you still can test the exciting and the military life. So what we do is work every Tuesday nights and one weekend a month.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much that's it. So you have your normal life, normal job, but you can become an army reserve when you can, when you are available. Yeah. So, and I know the first training, so which is the basic training, everyone, doesn't matter full-time, part-time, have to go through the first training, which is in Kabuka. It's middle of nowhere, so it's a huge army base. Yeah. So I was actually excited to do that because I love all the physical training stuff. I like sports, exercise and physical training. You know, like when you were kids in Taiwan, you joined those like summer camp, the boot camps, the fake army. Yeah, it's for me, I think it will be a serious boot camp. Yeah. So I think it will be fun to do it. So I said, I want to challenge myself, see can I actually survive from that. Yeah.
Ah, so that's where you go. That sounds so interesting. Yeah, it's very different to how we perceive, because I grew up, like, I spent my 10 years, first 10 years in Taiwan, and sports and outdoor activities were not very popular, especially for girls. It wasn't encouraged for girls to do it. Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
So I think that part, it's because both of my parents, they were athletes in Taiwan. Yeah, so I start play sports since I was very little. I was always playing basketball, and then I do street hip hop dance since I was little as well. So I'm always doing some outdoor stuff, like active stuff.
Oh, that's great. So where to from here? Do you wish to progress into a higher position in the police force, or what's your current thinking? Do you have a goal and goal for yourself in your career?
Well, so in police career, it's like when you first join, you need to be a general duty, which is the frontline officer. And then after a few years' time, you can start progressing to whatever special unit you want to be, like a CPIU for children crime, or the CRB for the bigger crime, investing some crime, like a serious crime, like a murder or something. So I wanted to be a detective at the beginning, but the longer I stay in general duty, I found general duty is more variety. So every job, we go to every single job. Doesn't matter it's a minor crime or serious crime, we are always the first one to get in touch with the community and the first one to attend the crime scene. I actually find that's quite interesting. So I don't actually have a goal now. I kind of just want to learn as much as I can when I stay in the general duty. But if one day I decide to go to other branch, and then yeah, maybe. But at the moment, I'm happy to stay in general duty.
I see. I think you'll be a huge asset for police officer, because we need people who are from diverse backgrounds now. You can't just have, white police all the time, because police really need to diverse. You're dealing with a community of diverse people as well. So I guess you're such a big asset for the police officer, because you have a diverse background, you can speak multiple languages. I think it will help them a lot, and also, improving the image as well.
Yeah, so I actually got called to do translation job all the time. Yeah, so there's a lot of Chinese, Taiwanese, Japanese, Koreans, or sort of cultural in Australia. So yeah, I always got called to do the translation. Well, yeah, it's good. I love doing that because that's the job I can do it.
Yeah, you're almost like a bridging, acting as a bridge between, differences, because when you're even if you're facing, you know, perpetrator or victims who are from a diverse background, they might not want to dealing with white police. They might feel like it's a bit intimidating. It'll be good you as a bridge, isn't it? I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's true. So I actually encountered one of the quite interesting case before. So there was like two Chinese people. We didn't know what happened because we drove past a river and we heard a woman screaming super loud. Mm-hmm. So we either think she's about to get raped or something. So we actually pulled over the car and I saw an Australian male covered by blood standing just on the side of the road and waving me down. So I tried to talk to him what happened. So, and then he said there's an Asian man, he's really weird, he's chasing my wife. So oh, I said, okay, cool. So then we just try to hunt them down because it's in a bushland. Mm-hmm. We can't see anyone there. But then eventually we got both of them. So it turned out they are all from China and they know each other. So the woman actually was trying to help the young Chinese male person. Mm-hmm. And then he actually really need help. So, and his English is pretty bad. So I actually ended up helping, and he was homeless at the time. His car was burned down, so he has no personal belongings, he has no money. He was eager to work, doesn't matter what kind of job. So I actually communicated with some liaison officer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and can help. And we actually found him a place to stay over the short term until he can afford to rent a house, and then they actually offer him a job to do the car wash things in Brisbane City, which is a good thing. Yeah. So that Chinese young male person was really like grateful, like keeps shaking my hand and then saying, yeah, like he didn't know what to do if he did not meet me. Yeah. So it's a good thing to help out people.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for your work. Yeah, I think we need more police officers like you to, you know, build up a great image for the community. My final question would be, what advice would you give to women who might be considering to join the police force or participating in military? I know that there might be girls out there who are considering to study criminology, but they might not necessarily move into the legislative or the law fields, and they might consider to do join the police force. What kind of advice would you like to give them?
Just do it. just don't think, oh, my English is bad, I can't. Mm. Just try, just give a go, because you never know. But English, I would say, doesn't matter you're fit or not fit. Fitness is something you can train easy, as long as it's not a big issue for fitness. Mm. But English, I would say, if you can't speak well English, you can't communicate. Mm-hmm. Then that's the whole issue, because the police job is not the force, it's a service. It's kind of like you need to be able to communicate with people. We intend to do to solve all the conflict by communication, not fighting or arrest someone. So communication is the key. So you need to be able to communicate with people, and you need to have a bit street smart. So I think the downside for Taiwan Asians education system, we're all very book smart. So I think the study part, legislation part, as long as you spend time to study, we're all very good at doing tests.
Yes.
Yeah. But street smart is something we are really lacking of. Like I find Australia now very creative. They are very street smart. So street smart is something you need to, I don't know how you're going to learn fine, but it's more like a working experience, your life experience and your attitude as well. Like I say, people are going to be racist towards you, they're going to be aggressive towards you, because what is police doing? Our job, you meet people at their worst time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No more people won't call you unless they need help or they are in trouble.
Yes.
So you meet people at their worst time. So you need to be able to handle all those aggression. We have so many times the victim call us, but they were actually the one being more aggressive than anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're screaming, yelling, swearing at us, but they were the one calling us for help. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to handle that. And also, you need to be able to, it's really hard to say, because as I said before, this is not a job for everyone. Mm-hmm. You need to handle all the stress and then their body. You need to be able to not feel terrified or disgusted with lots of things. You need to touch the dead body. You need to be able to talk to the deceased family as well. So so I don't think it's not necessary for like a Asian female want to join the force. I think it's for everyone. Right. It's not the job you think from the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but for Asian female or Asian male, English is the most important, and a really positive attitude. You need to turn all the racist joke, whatever, into a positive way. You can't take it all in. Otherwise, you will be very sad and
depressed. Be influenced and impacted.
Yeah.
That will impact your job as well.
Yeah. But English is definitely the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Well, that was my final question. Thank you so much, Zoe, for all the work that you do for the community. Well, that's it from us. Thank you so much, Zoe. Thank you for chatting with me today.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.